Welcome to Three in the Key, bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North with your hosts, Elias L. Zane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key, Elias L. Zane alongside Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
Who's back?
Better than ever.
I missed you.
And Dave Tripp.
Hey!
Who's been here.
Underwhelming, actually, isn't it, to have you here again? It's super weird.
Feeling the love, boys. Feeling the love.
Remember, guys, you can always get a hold of us by email at the3nikki@gmail.com.
Oh, we're still
Facebook.
On that?
Yeah, okay, yeah. You can like us on Facebook at 3nikki.
Sketcher.
Sketchers Radio.
Follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram at the3nikki, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio.
Oh, Stitcher.
And make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well, and you can check out our website, 3nikki.ca. Today's program, we talk about SI's top 100 players, which is a pretty interesting list we'll get into in a second.
What does SI stand for? Sports Illustrated? It's still that, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Okay, just in case.
Jerry West's comments. He's in the news.
Oh, yeah.
Logo to Adam Silver about free agency. And
should we change that logo, by the way?
I don't know.
I think it should be Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah. Just a really...
Make me feel in it.
Come on, if you were to change the logo, it has to be Michael Jordan.
Would it be the Jumpman?
Would it? But...
Oh, yeah. Well, no, he's already got a shoe with that logo on it, right? Exactly. So you got to pick somebody else because...
No, not someone else. You can't pick someone else. Well, if you pick someone else, I think then Kareem would a skyhook.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
That'd be
okay with that.
I just don't want a white boy on the NBA logo anymore. I'm just like, get over
right.
it. Oh, I know what I am, but I'm just tired of it.
I don't think that's going to change.
Will's white?
Who would have thought?
I know.
Even me looking at him, I
don't know. Hey, guys.
So let's quickly get into this SI top 100 players. So they made a list for the upcoming season, who they think is going to be the top 100 players for the upcoming season. It's kind of a head-scratcher to me, to say the least. We're not going to go through the whole list because that's going to take a lot
number
of time.
Number one.
But it will be on our Facebook and Twitter pages for you to take a look at it in detail, and you can let us know what you think about it. We're always open to your opinions, obviously. So first, a couple of guys that didn't even crack the top 100 who had, you know, some good seasons last year. Al-Farouq Aminu, I thought it was the chief.
Yeah.
Pretty good for Portland. Didn't crack the top 100. Jamal Crawford is reigning sixth man of the year, the only guy to win it three times, not on the list. Monte Ellis, who I thought it was all right in his first season in Indiana. But I get it, I guess, if he didn't make the top 100. But I'm just giving out some names.
Right.
Well,
right,
it's amazing sure.
that guys didn't make it.
The league is, you don't think it's as deep as it is until you see a list like this. Because when you,
for sure.
you know, when you think of the NBA, you think of, oh, there's only like a handful of really good teams that can really contend for the title. But when you see the 100 list, you're like, you know what? This league is pretty good.
Definitely, yeah. for sure.
Kind of the best in the world, I think.
Some might say that. I mean, arguably, what they're doing down South America there, it's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff right now.
Tyreke Evans, Jrue Holiday, two Pelicans.
That's right.
Not on the list. Injury-riddled seasons last
yeah,
year.
I think
so
that would be
understandable. But
they're both going to miss the start of the season, too. Maybe they're taking that into account.
Al Jefferson, not on the list as well. No. Just signed with Indiana. I get it, too, I guess. Again, like Will said, when you start looking at the top 100 and you realize how deep the league is and you're like, oh, damn, all these guys didn't make it.
Yeah, that's 100,
but
right?
All these guys made it. So, you know, you kind of...
There's only 12 guys on a team, man. Like that's.
Yeah, Corey Joseph, this one I don't get. Why is he not on the list? Arguably the best backup point guard in the NBA. Name one better. You can't.
You certainly didn't give me a chance.
You can't, and you're not going to answer it.
It would be tough to figure out one for sure. There,
I thought he was also in the conversation for Sixth Man of the Year. I thought he could have, you know, taken that one home. Obviously, went to Jamal Crawford.
Jared Jack be a good backup? I don't know. I can't think of anybody else. Like,
I don't know. D'Angelo Russell was a backup for most of last year.
That's right.
He's pretty good, but he didn't have as good a year as Corey Joseph, though.
Right, right.
Corey Joseph brings more too. Defense leadership, like he's.
Even what he did for Team Canada.
Yeah, he's a big part of that team.
He's won a ship, and he's doing well in Toronto. Do you think this is another thing of being like, Toronto not getting looked at, no respect for the team up
but
north?
Like,
no, because they have three players on the list.
We've already established on that show that that's a fact. It's not like that's just like a rumor, and we're like uber biased. Come on, we love the whole league, but like, I think that Toronto deserves some credit, you know, for
who's on
going
the
to the Eastern Conference Finals and, like, being their best team in history. And, like, oh, hey, guess what? If you want to, like, pick the top 30 teams in the NBA, at the very worst, Toronto has to be four if you look
definitely,
at their playoff.
In the East, even? Yeah, for sure. I think
no
so.
No question.
Yeah, with the season they just had. I mean, obviously, the East got better, but...
But, you know, the only reason that they made it is because they've got DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. I mean, everybody else is a plug in Toronto. It has to be the case because...
Yeah, yeah. But they respected with Carroll here, so that's about it.
Oh, yeah. Four guys are on the list. Sorry. Yeah. I said three earlier, but four guys actually made the top 100. Two other guys that didn't make the list, Jabari Parker, which I don't understand.
That's surprising.
Well, this year he will be. After this year.
I bet she's in the top 50 after this year. I think he's going to have a really
you
big
Milwaukee
year.
Bucks fan.
Dude... Look at what Antetokounmpo did in the second half of last season. Who benefited from that switch more than anyone else? It was Jabari Parker. The two of them are going to have a real nice relationship
this
season.
Romantic. Parker didn't make the list, but Greg Monroe did.
Oh, my Lord. You didn't tell me that. Ugh.
Yes.
S.I.
You guys have nice uniforms, though. And you guys added staff, which is really good.
True.
D-Rose didn't make it either. He had a good second half after post-All-Star break, and I thought he was getting back into the shape of things, but he's not on the list, and we'll see how he does in his first season in the Big Apple.
Super team.
Yeah, I wouldn't want
there's
to
others
Rose
as well that didn't make the list, but you can find that on our Facebook page and Twitter feed as well. And now let's get into the list. So this is a list of what you know players are going to be the best in the upcoming season. So rankings were assigned based on, I'm reading this from SI, on a fluid of combination of subjective assessment and objective data.
Okay.
So,
in other words, throwing at the wall
Yahoo
and seeing
sports.
What sticks.
Per game and per minute statistics, splits, advanced metrics, play type data, and more. So they combine all these things to try to put out a list that... Okay, this guy, when we combine his minutes and his productivity and his
maybe that's why Kojo didn't get on then?
And data, this is how good he's going to be, and this is where we're going to rank him. So this is the list of the players who they think are going to have the best season. I think it should be just ranked as how the best players are, you know what I mean? Which is essentially kind of the same thing. If you put all their numbers together, oh, this guy's going to have this good of a year, so but he's also like the best player in the league, so
right.
It makes sense that he's number one. But okay, so let's take a look at the list. Again, you can find it on our Facebook page at 3 in the Key and on our Twitter page at BasketPod. Number 100, shooting guard Devin Booker, the Suns. Now, he put up 19.2 points, 4.1 assists post-All-Star break. But I want to know, is he going to put up those kind of numbers with a healthy Bledsoe and Brandon Knight? Or will he just be another shooter? You know, those guys are going to have the ball in their hands a lot. He had the ball in his hands a lot and a ton after that All-Star break because everyone was injured.
Yeah.
So he got to put up all those shots, those threes. Although his three-point percentage did go a little bit down when he had more offense, when the offense was focused more around him. Knight came in at number 98, so just two after him. And Bledsoe comes in at 49.
Wow. I think Booker will have a big year this year. I don't think he's going to get the touches he got last year, but he's going to get the minutes. He'll get every opportunity to take his shots. I don't think he's going to have the ball in his hand all day. Like, that team's got tons of guys that can handle the ball. You got Tyler Ulis is going to be coming off the bench, and he's a really good player.
Yep.
He's played with
Barbosa
Booker
there
before.
Too now.
Yeah. So I don't think he'll get the touches necessarily, but he'll see time at the two and the three, and
yeah.
He can shoot at the lights.
Yeah.
He can handle the ball.
But they got three guys on this top 100, the Suns. Now, are they a playoff team yet? Like, is that
no?
Exactly,
no,
that's
not
a lot
even
of.
Close.
That's what I mean. That's a lot of respect for three players.
Tyson Chandler
for a team.
He didn't make the list. He's one guy that didn't make the list either.
But he might not make the top 200.
he's a player that you know. I mean, this is a team rather that it just doesn't seem like they're gonna make
no,
it to the next
I don't
level
think so
quite
either.
Yet.
And they have a young coach in Earl Watson.
They've got a young team,
develop
too.
Players. Yeah, they just drafted Marquise Chris,
Dragan
Bender.
They got
yeah.
T.J. Warren also. Like,
yeah,
a lot of guys that
are
22
that
are... and under.
Right, right. Now, I think it could be like the Pelicans' Jace last year or something like that.
So we're going to skip a few numbers and go down to number 93. Now, nothing against Mason Plumlee, who comes in at that number of 93. But how he made the list and Jabari Parker didn't, like, I don't understand. That still boggles my mind. He put up 9.1 points, 7.7 rebounds, and just under 3 assists, which aren't bad numbers, but still.
I think
Mason Plumlee made it, and Al-Farouq didn't, and their teammates.
I think he got a boost for his playoff performance, though. He was one of the better players for Portland in the playoffs. Like, he almost had a triple-double one game in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I think that's the kind of thing that people might look at and say, ooh, he's just scratching the surface. Or maybe he just had a career game. It's one or the other.
Former Raptor Bismack Biyombo comes in at number 91. The Magic gave him a lot of money, $70 million to be exact. So a lot.
That's a lot for the 91st player on this list. Yeah.
I wonder where he fits in payroll.
Is he lowest rated, highest paid on this list, do you think, probably?
That's a good question.
No, that's Derrick Rose. We've already established that.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's highest paid, but he's not even
Yeah, okay, makes sense.
Yep.
They have a crowded front court down there, though. It's going to be interesting to see what the Magic do in general. Vucevic, who's on the list later on. Ibaka as well, who cracks the list. Crowded front court there. This one's going to get Dave upset.
Uh-oh.
Your boy, Nikola Jokic out of Denver. 78. He had a great rookie year, and the Nuggets have a really good big here. And with Jokic, they can probably run their offense through him, but is 78 a fair ranking?
You know what? I'm going to say that it is a fair ranking.
Right
now. I think that by the end of the year, like I said with Jabari Parker, this is a guy that could slide into the top 50. He's going to be a major part of what Denver does this year. They're building around him now. It was Moutier last year. Now they know what they've got in Jokic. They're building around him completely.
Now this team, I think, looks better than the Suns team.
Agreed.
And I think they're going to be contending for that 8th spot.
Yeah, I think they can push for that 8th spot, definitely.
They've got the assets to put a couple of players together and make a legitimate trade this year.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Denver could end up maybe sneaking into that playoff conversation as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I like this at 73 right now. But, like, next year we could see him probably in that 40 zone, 40-30 zone, and move up, especially if they make the playoffs.
But we'll see what happens with Moutier and maybe Jamal Murray. Like, but right now, I think that Jokic is their franchise player that they're building around.
Yes.
Yeah, a young center, obviously talented, can pass the ball, can stretch it out to the three-point line, and he comes in at a 78.
That's what you want for your centers right now. I mean, the way the league is, like, that's what you need.
You look pretty poised at the Olympics, too.
Definitely.
Yeah, well done over there as well. So first Raptor on the list, Damari Carroll, 73. He'll be counted on a lot this season, especially on the defensive end. He's going to come in healthy. Obviously, he finished the season on the roster, playing on that playoff team that went to the East Finals. Because he only played in 26 games last year due to that knee injury.
Right.
And only averaged 11 points and just under 5 boards. So I don't know if his numbers are going to go up big time, but maybe probably like 13, 14. Maybe if he's having such a good year, 15 points, which would be solid from your third scorer, depending on how many touches Valanciunas gets, because I think he should get more.
Agreed.
But Carroll will be the focus on defense. He's kind of the guy they brought in to try and shut down the LeBrons of the league, or at that position, Kawhi Leonard,
Paul
Kevin
George,
Durant,
for sure.
Paul George.
He's their shutdown.
But he's their shutdown guy. And if he's healthy, you know, he's going to give it to them on the defensive end, lean them along with Kyle Lowry on that end of the floor. And then on offense, people probably forget about him, and he'll take
the open three.
The open three. And their best lineup of Valanciunas, Carroll, DeRozan, Joseph, and Kyle Lowry, which, you know, would be the best five to have on the floor in the playoffs and whatnot, only played 36 minutes together last season.
Right.
So having them all healthy and down the stretch in games, having that as your five, that would be a solid five on the floor.
Oh, for sure.
Night in and night out for them.
Yeah, the only, like, the thing is for Carroll is his handles, obviously. Like, but you have enough guys like DeRozan and Lowry that can handle the ball, and it's okay to kind of, like, backdoor with Carroll, because he doesn't need to dribble it once with this team, which is kind of
to cut or find the open lane to cut or stand at the 3-point line somewhere and be ready to catch and shoot.
Exactly. The rest of these guys protect him in that way.
I think if Valanciunas takes a step forward this year, which I imagine he will. We say that every year, but I think that Valanciunas will. He looked really good in the playoffs
until he got hurt,
came off injury and missed some time and stuff like that. I think that having Biyombo not on the team, he's going to be the go-to big man on the team. Maybe Jakob Poeltl will transition into that role as the season comes along. And Jared Sollinger's another guy, but I don't think either one of them stands up next to Valanciunas. If Valanciunas becomes the number three option, I don't think Carroll's going to get upset by the lack of touches. I think that He wants to win. He wants to shut down those guys. That's kind of his style of game.
I mean, they tasted it last year, and I think they want that more.
Yeah, and they're definitely a team-oriented ball squad. So,
oh, that's what Casey does, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll be good. Porzingis ranks in at 68. He finished second in Rookie of the Year voting and put up a solid 14.3 points per game, 7.3 rebounds, and just under 2 blocks a night. I get the Knicks added talent, but do you really think he's going to be the 68th best player in the league?
Well, I think if you're going by the Jokic barometer, I don't think he had that much better of a season than Jokic did.
No.
So, I mean, by that math, I guess that works. Right. I think that Porzingis is going to have a big year, though.
I think right now he's probably the best player on that Knicks team.
Wow. Carmelo him for sure.
I know, but Melo's...
But moving forward, they all know, I think that's obvious, even the guys that they just signed this year. Down the stretch, when all these guys are, you know, off their deals, Courtney Lee, who signed a four-year deal, I believe, too, Joakim Noah, 4 years, Melo has about, what, 3 years left on his contract?
Yeah, I just think...
Rose is just on a one-year deal, basically. They all know, like, the future and few years down the line, these three, four next years...
Zinger's team.
It's going to be Porzingis.
That fast start that Porzingis had last season will happen again, and I think you have to look out for these guys. And I think it's a fair spot to put him in. And I think with Noah now added and Rose, if we see whatever happens with him being healthy and whatever, I think that will help him translate into maybe into like a 20 zone even with this guy, because he's got the assets, man.
The one thing, though, is he had a guy like Jose Calderon getting him the ball, a unselfish player getting him the ball, and now he's got Derrick Rose. And I think having Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony on the floor together, they're going to be holding the ball a lot.
Yeah.
So that could take away from Porzingis' touches.
Right.
Is that not the opposite way you want to build your team? Wouldn't you want to build around Porzingis?
Well, we're talking about, look at what we're doing with the Bulls right now.
Oh, my God. Wow, the Bulls.
But Porzingis said... He said he doesn't care about the touches as long as it translates to winning.
Yeah, so
he doesn't care about if he's not getting the ball a lot, but they're winning, he's okay.
But
with that.
We
but
all
if he
know-
doesn't get the ball and they're losing, then the kid might speak out.
But yeah, but he will make the most of his touches, which
without question.
The best part about that. So,
moving on just to one spot higher, Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins, the Canadian, comes in at 67. No disrespect to Marvin Williams of the Hornets and Zach Randolph and Memphis, but they rank higher than Wiggins. You know, I guess now people can see a little bit why I don't really get this list. Are those guys going to have better years than Andrew Wiggins?
I would say no.
Are they going to have more of an impact on their squads than Andrew Wiggins will have with Minnesota?
I don't think so.
So,
it's
there you have it, folks.
Because Wiggins has the parts around him to make his team better and him better. Oopsie. we got our guest is ready to be called or whatever. That's what he's messaging me now. But he's got the parts around him to make him a better player, and I think that's make him jump in the next level as a player. What we got, he drafted number one overall.
Yeah, I think,
and we're ready to see it.
The Wolves are a team on the rise, and he's gonna obviously be a big part of that. So.
Yeah, second Raptor to make the list is big man Jonas Valanciunas at 62. He's only 24 and he's still getting better, so he's still very young. I think he still needs to get a little more involved on the offense, needs to get more touches on that end of the floor. He's still not the great defensively, although he's getting better compared to the first couple of years that he's been in the league. 12.8 points and 9.1 rebounds were his averages. A little later down the line, skipping a few more numbers, DeMar DeRozan comes in at 46. He even tweeted his displeasure with the ranking.
Two-time All-Star?
Two-time All-Star. I know I've been... He could have been a three-time All-Star, but that 1 year in between his two All-Star appearances, he got hurt, so that's what kind of pushed him not to make that game, which was Kyle Lowry's first All-Star appearance. Anyways... I mean, I know I've been hard on DeRozan, but I think he's at least a top 30 player in this league. I don't think the 46 is fair. 23.5 points, 4.5 assists, 4.5 rebounds, excuse me, and 4 assists per night. Pretty solid for a guy.
Definitely.
Who doesn't really take threes, who's not a good defender, but he gets to the line and night in and night out, 23, 24 points a night is definitely good in this league. 45, Isaiah Thomas, I don't know. That's also pretty high in terms. I mean, he should be like in the 30s too, Isaiah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
First All-Star appearance this past season. For
it's, the names, it's the names coming up that make me really...
I also wouldn't put him ahead of DeRozan, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. I think DeRozan's ahead of Isaiah Thomas, and I still think both of them should be...
Considerably
I mean, it's
maybe
one spot.
Isaiah Thomas at 40 or 30-something, and DeRozan like at 30 or 29. Ibaka comes in at 42, really, though? Like,
I don't understand that. Like, Ibaka had a big drop-off this year.
These are so heavily influenced by the playoffs we had, it's insane. Because I think they don't...
Ibaka had a good postseason.
Exactly. It's crazy with Isaiah and DeRozan not having a great one and looking down the line with Steven. Adam's like, it looks like... It sounds like, it sounds like they're just looking at what the great playoffs they just had, and now it's going to translate going into the next season, and I don't think it always works out that way.
No, and we'll just mention, Steven Adams comes in at 40.
That blows
my mind.
Is he
really going to have a better season than DeRozan or Wiggins?
Like, you really think he's going to have a better season than Jabari Parker? That's
everyone
my question.
Everyone was in love with Antetokounmpo.
They were in love with that
Thunder team and that series against the Warriors and the series against
the Spurs. I love Steven Adams.
He's great,
brick.
But he was good in the playoffs. Like, he was not the same player we saw. There's a reason why we saw that fire, and it was because it was a seven-game series. You know what I mean? So I can't see it translate. Again, Westbrook's going to have the ball all game. Adams is just going to be the janitor right there. I don't see him.
He's going to clean it up. He's going to be there at the right time in the right place to grab those.
No, he's great at his position.
And Westbrook's going to pass it to him and he's going to be able to dunk it. Let's quickly go through the rest here. Not trying to hate on your Bucks, Dave, but Middleton at 39, really ahead of Adetokounmpo, who we mentioned.
Ahead of DeRozan?
Who came at 48. Is Middleton? I like Middleton.
I love Middleton. Versatile.
Plays
three positions.
But is he really going to have a better season than Parker or Adetokounmpo? I think he's
absolutely not.
There.
Yeah. I completely
Brooke
agree.
Lopez at 38, an injury prone center who's a below average rebounder for a 7-4.
Would have put Robin higher.
Wade comes in at 32. He's getting older. He's still clutch and could perform. We've seen that in the postseason.
I put George Lopez higher.
Jorge Lopez.
Conley racked in $150 million. He comes in at 26. This one is the worst ranking right here. Not Conley. He's at 26. The next one, at 25, Kyrie Irving. Really? A guy who just came off winning a championship and a gold medal. Do you really think 24 guys are going to have better season than him? Better numbers than him?
No. Not just winning a championship, too. Like, being... such a massive part of them winning a championship.
41 in game 5.
He was the difference.
The biggest shot in game 7.
And you know, going into the next season, LeBron said, hey, you know what? I'm going to lay off a little bit. I'll do my thing. But Kyrie.
He's a superstar.
Take over, my friend. And that's what he wants. He wants to, because LeBron still has that superstar status, but he's getting older. You know what?
This next one's also greasy.
And he can afford to lay off a bit and give it to Irving. So I don't understand why that's so low. I think it's a slap in the face. I mean, we just watched him take that shot over Curry.
Kyrie is top 10, arguably top 5.
Yeah, when we get to the top 10,
is disrespectful.
We could take off. Well, we could take off 3 people in the top 10 for Kyrie.
Kyrie is arguably the 4th best point guard in the league, which is the deepest position in the league.
You can even have him in the top 3. I don't know. It's Curry,
Westbrook
and
Paul.
Irving. Paul never made a conference final. Yeah, I get it. He's great. Leads his teams to the playoffs. He kind of like a 20, almost 20 points. Obviously, 10 assists. The floor general. But I'm sorry, he's getting older. Never made
Kyrie
a conference
isn't
final,
the guy.
He had
Kyrie isn't
around.
The guy that makes his teammates better. That's LeBron. Chris
that
Paul.
Is LeBron, but Kyrie,
Chris Ball makes every player on his team better.
He is a true point guard. But
he's probably the only one in the NBA, maybe.
How about this next guy? He's in the argument too.
Damian Lillard comes in at 21. Amazing player, and will get his shots and all he wants in Portland, obviously. But is he really better than Kyrie? I love Lillard, but is he better than Kyrie?
Probably not. Exactly. Not yet. He certainly has the drive to be better.
Yeah, but Kyrie's younger.
That's true, Kyrie. Jeez, he's been in the league since he was like 17.
In next at number 20, DeAndre Jordan. A horrible free throw shooter, but great defender. Other than his defense, what does Jordan really contribute to the Clippers?
No, I know. They love the Clippers on this list.
They do.
They love them. And
Kyle Lowry next comes in as the highest Raptor, and rightfully so, comes in at number 14. I think that's a good ranking for
Kyle
Lowry.
Best player on the second best team in the East last year. I think that's
14.
That's fine.
And
yeah.
I think, but again, a question: is Kyle Lowry better than Kyrie Irving?
Nope.
No.
Exactly. moving on to the top 10, we'll just go through them quickly. At 10, Blake Griffin. 9, Paul George. 8, Anthony Davis. 7, James Harden. 6, Kawhi Leonard. 5, Russell Westbrook.
Too low.
4, Chris Paul.
Too high.
3, Steph Curry.
Perfect.
2, Kevin Durant.
Perfect.
And number 1, LeBron James.
They got that right.
Agreed.
Yeah, they got the top 3 right, I'll say that.
Shout out to
Matarlo. I know he loves LeBron and he's listening. There you go. You have
it. I don't know. I'd consider
LeBron's out. I mean, Kobe's out this
year. I'd consider Russell Westbrook in my top 3. I think that guy's going to have. If it's for next year, projecting
four.
For next season, I'd consider him
Westbrook
right near
four.
The top.
Yeah,
but like projecting for next season, you've got Steph Curry and KD in the top 3. Are they both going to put up 30 points a night? Who else? Like, I mean, what are they going to score 150 points every game?
Yeah.
No, they won't. Somebody's got to not take shots.
Also, if Kobe was on this list and he was playing this year, where would he be?
108.
Okay. All right. Not biased at all.
108.
He probably, honestly, SI wouldn't put him in the top 100 if you want the...
Yeah.
That would be disrespect, though.
Put him at 100.
It would be disrespect, but it would be totally SI. I would have him at number 1, but that's just my opinion.
That's your heart.
Yeah, that wraps up our SI top 100.
Our SI.
Not our, but SI's top 100 and what we think about it. Obviously, let us know what you guys think. The3Nikki@gmail.com. The list is on our Facebook page and on our Twitter feed at BasketPod. Next.
Tell us who you think you got snubbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. Let us know. Next, we are joined by John Carolus, co-founder of RedsArmy.com and host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, to talk Boston Celtics and what they're up to this upcoming season. Stay with us. 3 in the Key.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key. 3 in the Key, Elias Alzana alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp. And we are joined by John Carolus.
Why was it so hard?
No, it wasn't. We're joined by John Carolus, co-founder of RedsArmy.com and host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thanks for joining us, John.
I'm happy to be here, guys.
Perfect. Celtics, up-and-coming team, made the postseason the last 2 years with a young roster. You know, people might even say a roster full of, like, maybe just one good guy in Isaiah Thomas, who made an all-star appearance last season, and just a bunch of role players. But this offseason, they went out and added Al Horford in free agency. What is he going to bring to this already up-and-coming roster?
Well, Al Horford brings a different level of ability. It's a huge upgrade over Jarrett Sullinger, where they now have a guy who can play the pick-and-roll and the pick-and-pop much more effectively than Sullinger could. And it allows the Celtics... Frog in my throat there. It allows the Celtics to put shooters around on the perimeter. So you put Isaiah Thomas with Al Horford, and now you put Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, and when he's healthy, Kelly Olynyk, three guys who you have to respect out in the perimeter shooting-wise. And now you have a lot of space. So offensively, adding Horford really adds a lot of space because he can pop out. He has three-point range. He can roll to the basket, take advantage of that space if he decides to roll, and it really opens things up. It opens things up for Isaiah Thomas. It opens things up for the other guys in the perimeter. They'll have more space to shoot, and they'll have, if you have an overly aggressive closeout, they can get by them, put the ball on the floor. All of those guys can put the ball on the floor, take a couple of dribbles, and get to the rim. So you should see an increase in efficiency, an increase in scoring, and an increase possibly in free throws as guys can attack the rim more and draw fouls. So offensively, we're looking at potentially a more efficient offense where guys will get better shots, better looks. Defensively, he allows Brad Stevens to put Amir Johnson on the bench. And with Amir Johnson coming off of the bench, you now have a rim protector at all times on the floor. That increases your chances of getting out on the fast break, and now we're looking at even more offensive efficiency when you're out there shooting layups and transition threes. So just that one guy, just Al Horford, because of who he is and the position that he plays, locks a lot of things into place. So it's really going to be, if things work out this way, a really, really interesting year for this team.
Hey, John, we were just talking SI's top 100, and Isaiah Thomas, he went 45. Now, is this the best we're going to see of Isaiah Thomas? Can he get higher maybe on this 100, or what are we going to see this year from now?
I think he should be higher already, but I think that he can get better. Again, the situation matters in the NBA. You could be a high-quality player in a bad situation. You're not going to perform very well. Now, Isaiah Thomas is in a pretty good situation that's going to get better with Horford because, like I said, those shooters are going to be on the perimeter. And even if Horford's out there, you got to respect his ability to shoot all the way out to the three-point line. Now, Isaiah Thomas is one of the best finishers in the league. He shoots a higher percentage at the rim than Russell Westbrook does. And everybody knows what Russell Westbrook does at the rim. Now, he has a lot more highlights than Isaiah Thomas does, but I think people might penalize Thomas because he's so short. I think with the added space, he's going to get to the rim a little bit more with less resistance. So some of those shots are going to fall a little more often. He'll get to the line a little bit more often. He's also going to have more assists, I think, because guys are going to be, the opposing defense is going to be really running at him hard, and they're going to be leaving their man. You're going to pick your poison and figure out who you're going to leave. Are you going to leave Jay Crowder? He's probably the worst of the three-point shooters out on that starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Now, if Crowder can take a step forward and increase his shooting ability just to the league average, now you've really got a problem. So I think Thomas will get some more assists this season because of all of this. So I think his efficiency will go up a little bit. His assist numbers will go up a little bit. That means his player efficiency rating will go up a little bit, and people will start to see. So I think next year when SI does their rankings, he'll creep up into the 30s at least.
So John Corrales is co-founder of theRadsArmy.com and host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. He joins us right now. You guys got Brad Stevens, coach from Butler. Had some really good tournaments in the NCAA. He came in 2013, and he's pretty well turned around this franchise. He went from fourth in the Atlantic, 25-57, and now you're an elite team in the Eastern Conference. Do you think that coaching has been an essential part of this team turning around? Do you think Brad Stevens is, from where we're sitting in Canada, we think he's one of the better young coaches in the NBA, and kind of the future of that stretch-the-floor philosophy. Where do you see the Celtics going under Stevens? You see him innovating the roster even more and just kind of making it more his own?
I think that Stevens is when it's all said and done, when Stevens gets to be Greg Popovich's age, he's going to be revered in the same way. I think he will, by the time he retires, have won multiple championships. I'm hoping it's in Boston. I hope he stays there. But however it works out, I think that he will have multiple championships because he is you want to say innovative, but I think it's actually kind of simple, and maybe that's what makes it so innovative because everybody's trying to be too complicated. Do what you do well. And he got Evan Turner a huge contract in Portland. Evan Turner was on his way out of the NBA. After Indiana, he was done. The Celtics took a chance on him, and after a little bit of a rocky start, they figured out exactly how to use him. And Brad has this uncanny ability to figure out what players do well and encourage them to do that, and then the rest will figure out. So if we say, Evan Turner, you're a pretty good ball handler, you're pretty good in the mid-range, you can create your own shot, why can't we use you as a backup point guard? As opposed to the small forward that everybody's trying to use him as. Now, all of a sudden, he's playing well enough to earn a massive contract. Evan Turner owes Brad Stevens like a cut, like an agent's cut of that deal.
A bit of money to throw him on the side. Hey, thanks,
yeah,
coach. It was good. It was a good 2 years out here in Boston. Here's a little bit. We mentioned a young team, John. Made the playoffs the last two seasons, crept in there. Last year was, I think, the fifth seed and played a tough Atlanta Hawks team in the first round. Is this the year that the Celtics make it out of the first round?
Well, I hope so, because if they don't this year, then we've got some problems. But I think this should be the year, because the Celtics should be a top two or three team in the East. And let's remember, last year they were the fifth seed, but they were tied for the third best record, and it's just through some crazy
tiebreakers. Yeah,
yeah, they had a bunch of teams all tied with the same record.
Yeah, them.
And next thing you know, they got
Charlotte and I believe Miami were all tied with the same record.
Same. same record. So all of a sudden, one team is a division winner, and the Celtics become the fifth seed because of, you know, tiebreakers. So it is what it is. I think the Celtics can easily be the second seed this year or the third seed at worst. Like, that's how that should be where they fall. Things could change. You never know, injuries, whatever. But that would give them a much better matchup, and I think they'll be much more prepared for what happens in the playoffs. Hey. So I feel confident they could reach the Eastern Conference Finals.
We're in Canada, John, and we got to keep an eye out on our Canadian boys. And we know Al went over there. So what's going to happen to Kelly coming off an injury? What does this mean for him in Boston?
I think this is a huge year for Kelly Olynyk, and I like what Kelly Olynyk can do. He's been, I don't want to say disappointing, because he's had stretches. He had a stretch last year, I want to say December, January, kind of February, where he was on fire from three, to the point where people in Boston were pushing for him to make the three-point shootout. He was shooting over 40%. And that's the kind of guy that he can be. I think he can be a really important scorer for the Boston Celtics. He's an underrated defender. He gets good position. He's not going to be a shutdown guy, but I think in rotation, he can get to the spots he needs to get to where he's not going to kill you. And then you let your other great defenders like Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley do their thing, and he'll just kind of fit into that mix, just keeping in front of his guys, being in the right position, getting into some passing lanes here and there, and just doing his job, a solid job there. I think he can do that. Offensively, the knock on him is that he's not aggressive enough. And I think, I don't know, all you Canadians are so polite.
Yeah,
he really does lack an aggression on offense where he doesn't look for his own shot.
Yeah.
And I think maybe because he grew up as a point guard and only now is becoming this seventh-footer over the past 5 or 6 years, I think he needs to get into that, look, we need you to be a scorer. When you have your shot, take it. And a lot of times he'll up-fake when there's no need to up-fake, or he'll pass when he could have either dribbled or taken a shot. So this year his big step forward will be to be an aggressive offensive player. And if he can do that on a consistent basis, I think he's going to have a breakout year. I really like his skill set. I think he's very, very important. And I see him as that fifth starter hanging out in the corner and banging some corner threes and really, really stretching that defense and opening things up for the rest of the team.
So, John, we were watching the NBA draft, as I'm sure you were. It was a big year for Boston. They had the third overall pick, and a lot of people figured there would have been a move. If you're Danny Ainge, do you pick Jaylen Brown at that pick? And I got a follow-up question, too. looking forward into next year, you've got that Brooklyn pick again, and you're in a position that you could maybe swing a trade, or would you continue to build the Celtics through the draft? What do you think?
Well, I wasn't looking at Jaylen Brown at the third pick. I was looking to trade the third pick. But this is Danny Ainge to a T. He's not going to make a deal for the sake of making a deal. And he's not going to make a deal that overpays. And now I personally thought the Celtics had an opportunity to perhaps overpay once, because they had all of these assets. They could have done something. But I wasn't in that room. I don't know exactly what teams were looking for. What were the Bulls looking for in those potential Jimmy Butler talks? What was going on there? How much did they want? And if they wanted all of the Brooklyn picks and they wanted a series of players, that might have just been too much. So Ainge has this flexibility where he had the money to go after free agents. He got Al Horford, and by most accounts, they were really in the mix for Kevin Durant, at least a little bit. I know that might have been a little bit of a foregone conclusion, but Durant seemed to really be impressed by the Boston pitch.
Well,
so they were
in. Tom Brady was there.
Yeah, he loved it. He loved it. So he had that flexibility to say, all right, I'll just make these picks Now, he got a couple of other picks that are draft and stashes, and we'll revisit those next year. So you got Jaylen Brown. This kid is super athletic. We don't know what he's going to turn out to be, but we know that he's probably the most athletic guy in the draft, and he's got a pretty good work ethic. So if he can progress, then you have a pretty good player there, and there's no rush for him to contribute. The Celtics have a good team as it is without Jaylen Brown. They can slowly work him in. They can send him to the D-League if they want. They have options with him. Next year's pick, next year is supposed to be a super loaded draft, and there are a bunch of kids in there that are potential franchise changers. So why not make that pick and let that kid develop? Now what you have is the Celtics contending. You have more money for free agents next year. If you can go out and get another free agent next year, now you've got a team that is theoretically an NBA title contender. Plus, you've got a potential franchise changer and Jaylen Brown, whatever he's going to be. You've got Marcus Smart, who's now going into his third year. You've got Kelly Olynyk, a young kid. You've got Avery Bradley, who's still in his mid-20s. You've got, all of a sudden, this young core after this wave of contention when most teams would be, all right, do we blow this up and start over? That's when all of this youth kicks in, and all of a sudden you've got all these third- and fourth-year guys ready to pick it up and proceed. So it's entirely possible that Ainge is kind of building two separate teams at the same time. One to make a run at NBA titles now, and then a second with the youth to make a run at NBA titles later when they develop and grow into their bodies and their games. So I think that the trades are always possible with Danny Ainge, but he's got a lot of flexibility to do a lot of things here.
Speaking with John Corrales. Corrales.
My name vexes you.
Yes, for some reason. Co-founder of RedsArmy.com and host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, Jared Sullinger, who spent his whole career with the Celtics, has now found a new home with the Raptors. What can you say about his game after watching him in Boston? What do you think he can bring to Toronto? Obviously, that spot has been a weakness for the Raptors, the four, and I don't think he is the answer. But what could he bring, and what could he do for the Raptors this upcoming season?
Well, he's a really good rebounder. You're getting a really good rebounder, and that's something that hurts the Celtics. That's going to be probably their biggest weakness at this point. So you're getting a guy who can get in there. He knows how to get position. He'll tip in some offensive rebounds. He'll definitely give you solid numbers there. He's not bad defensively. Positionally, he'll get into the lane. He'll get himself a few charges. So that's going to be a nice thing for you guys defensively in Toronto. Offensively, he likes that mid-range jumper. It gets frustrating sometimes. He's got that long mid-range jumper, which it's the least efficient shot because you need to shoot a very high percentage. You need to be basically Tim Duncan for that or Kevin Garnett to have that be your signature shot, and he's obviously not that.
But, one last question before we let you go, John. You mentioned earlier you think that the Celtics are going to be finish two or three in the East, and is that your expectations for them this upcoming season, 50-win ball club up there in the Eastern Conference and possibly Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, it's basically Cleveland, Boston, and Toronto, and the only thing, the Cavaliers, I feel like, will coast this year, and you know, they're coming off the title, and LeBron's getting older, and I don't think LeBron's going to have a typical LeBron regular season. I think he's going to back off a little bit to make another. They'll be awesome again in the playoffs. They'll probably go to the finals again. But during the regular season, I think they'll slow down a little bit to preserve their legs, the long haul. So Boston and Toronto are going to have a chance to kind of jockey for position. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of those teams actually sneaks into that number one. Just, again, strictly because Cleveland, I think, is going to coast. And they might have a record that's lower than most people expect.
Who else do you think is good? Do you think Indiana got better? Do you think, what about New York? Do you think these guys can contend in those?
No, I think it's those three teams. Indiana's an interesting team. I don't know really what to make of them. Detroit's going to be interesting to look at, but other teams have fallen off. Miami has fallen off. Yeah. We'll have to see what happens with Bosch. Charlotte's fallen off.
Chicago.
I don't know. There's what no shooting on that team. Who knows? You got a bunch of guys who can't hit threes on that team. I don't know what they're doing. Oh yeah, man, this is great. So I think you know, Detroit, Indiana starts the second tier in the East. Like, those teams are potentially going to be good, and then there's a bunch of weird teams. I think the East is really weird once you get to the middle of the pack and down. You know, like Orlando. Orlando is like, are they going to be terrible or are they going to be surprisingly good? Like, they could be good.
So many question marks.
All right. Thank you so much to John Corrales, the co-founder of Red's Army.
There you go.
Host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. I know it feels to butcher names because people butcher my name all the time. But thank you, John. We hope to have you on the podcast again during the season.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Back inside 3 in the Key, Elias Zane alongside Dave Tripp and Will Macklin. Good conversation there with John Corrales.
Yeah.
Co-founder of RedsArmy.com and host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, talking all things Boston, Beamtown. Let's move on to Jerry West, okay? He said, because Adam Silver, once they signed Kevin Durant, Adam Silver said, oh, we got to come up with something to change the dynamic of this league. And we can't have all these superstars on one team, and all this junk.
Well, because Stern did that, essentially, to your Lakers.
Yeah, see, David Stern did that, and he didn't allow, what's his name? Chris Paul, but then they went and traded him to the Clippers for, but that's the whole different story. We won't get into that. But Jerry West called his comments sour grapes. Listen, he said if he had the chance to leave L.A. back in the day, he would have, because of the owner that was there was telling him something that wasn't true, like, he would lie to him, essentially. And let's not get it twisted out here. It wasn't the Buss family that owned it. It wasn't Jerry Buss that owned the team back then. It was actually a Canadian. James Kent Cook, I believe, was the name.
Yeah.
James Kent Cook. Anyway, so...
JKC
from Hamilton, Ontario.
Oh, 905.
He also owned the Los Angeles Kings, the hockey team.
I'm not familiar.
And he made the forum. A Canadian made all this... in L.A. Anyways.
An American dream.
Yeah.
In Canada.
So, do you agree here with Jerry West? Because I want to take a look at football here, and Will's a big football guy.
Yeah.
The NFL, you can basically control a player on your team and can not convince him, but kind of force him to stay with the franchise tag.
Right.
So, I don't know if the NBA is trying to move to that and try to keep one guy...
If you're not familiar with the franchise tag, it means a team can pretty much slap a one-year contract on you for a certain amount of dollars. I forget what it is, but they can't go anywhere. It's like a really expensive ball and chain. So the guy gets paid, he gets money, but for a guy who say had a good year, like only certain people are eligible really. But I think if that guy has a good year, he could probably go somewhere and get maybe 5 years and a lot of money with that, right? But with this one, you only get the 1 year deal and
a lot of money, you get forced to stay with the team that you're trying to leave. So is the NBA going to implement that? But I think in any sport, not just in basketball, that the player should choose where he wants to go. You're the one playing. You're the one that's putting your life on the line.
Well, it's different in football because the rosters are so big. You know,
in football, it would be your life. But in basketball, you know, you're going out there, you can get injured. Obviously, you're getting paid all this money. And I get, from a fan perspective, you kind of would like the franchise tag because it would keep that player on that squad. I mean, if you're a player and you're playing and your team's not doing well or you're not getting over the hump, I guess you're allowed and you should be allowed to choose to leave, in which case Kevin Durant did. LeBron did this back in 2010.
I don't remember that.
But yeah, players do this all the time, and they move and they choose to stay or leave the franchise.
I think that the NBA doesn't need a franchise tag. I think that players should be afforded the right.
Definitely.
And it should be the responsibility of the franchise to make it attractive for players to sign there.
Yeah.
So if you're supporting a franchise that can't attract any free agents, why not?
Yeah.
every, like, look at the small markets in the NBA right now. Oakland just won a national, just won a championship 2 years ago. Cleveland just won a championship. San Antonio the year before that.
Yeah.
Like,
small guys.
Any team can turn this around, attract free agents, draft well, and do it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've got owners that are cheap, and they won't do it. And you listen to Jerry West, one of the greats of all time, saying that he would have left. I buy it, because when he was playing with Wilt Chamberlain, they were on completely different levels. Wilt went in and he coasted. And Jerry West broke his back every game. He didn't want to play with Wilt. Wilt obviously helped them win championships.
Yeah.
A championship.
Yeah, he did well there.
But, like, he underachieved his whole career because he didn't put into it. Wilt Chamberlain was, like, 60 years ahead of his time. He's LeBron James, but 7'2".
With,
like,
shorter shorts, too.
With shorter shorts! And, like, Jerry West was one of the hardest working players of his generation.
Yeah,
and, like, how could you watch that guy and not be frustrated?
The only problem I have with his comment is, like, you say that now.
Shaq and Kobe.
I feel like would you say that if Kobe, like, if what if Kobe left when you were with the Lakers, Jerry, or something like that? I think it's a different kind. He's part of the Golden State team now. He obviously helped Durant get him swayed to Golden State. Like, so for him, it's,
but
he,
I think he
has
took
a
more offense with Adam's
clear, but I still buy it. That's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
I know what you mean. The buy the but bias.
I think he took more offense with
Silver.
Yes, in his comment saying, oh, basically we can't allow this to happen anymore. We got to come up with a rule to allow.
I think, well, maybe Jerry West should be happy this is happening. Now he can keep all the Golden State players.
Yeah, I guess, but maybe it's just on one player. Maybe they introduced, like, a franchise tag, and you can only use it on one player for 1 year.
Well,
you never know.
Keep Durant or Curry,
but
pal.
I still
That's
would
luck.
Be against that.
I don't like it. Smacks of communism.
I get it. Yeah, no, it I know. I'm not huge on it either. Like, it's capitalism. You know, this is what life is about. You know, Durant made his decision. I just think it's a. I see both sides of the argument right now, and
yeah.
And I get it because, I mean, the league is sometimes watered down. When it comes to how many, like, we think
yeah,
the Cavs,
know,
we just said the Cavs and Golden State are going to make it again. Three.
But you look at teams like, I guess, like a Phoenix, who's probably not going to make the playoffs. And that's like a small market team still building. And you have other teams like that are not going to be so good.
Yeah,
right?
I know. But Portland's still, like, really small. He's good.
Yeah,
I think
Portland's good. They made the playoffs. They made it to the second round last year.
I think we talked about, like, the big free agency, like the L.A. now and New York and these big teams and big populated cities aren't attracting these free agents anymore.
But for every Kevin Durant who leaves town, there's still a Russell Westbrook who's going to re-sign with that team that he's grown up in.
Yeah.
And I think that just because Kevin Durant signed, I don't think that that's a reflection of every NBA player's attitude, that they want to go for the team that's got the best chance of winning. I think that he's the exception. I think that what KD did was the exception, and that's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because I love what Russell Westbrook did. He's going to try to win a championship with that franchise. KD's taking the easy route, and that's what Adam Silver doesn't like. And
no one likes it, but I think that
it's the easy route, but it doesn't guarantee you a championship.
Exactly. I think Durant leaving is the reason why Westbrook stayed. I think if maybe Durant stayed, Westbrook could have left. You know what I mean? So it doesn't. We're looking at it from that point of view, but I think it's right now, I'm fine with it. It makes for exciting basketball. We'll watch the Warriors every day. We're going to watch the Cavs every day. You know, and you're going to watch your Lakers.
Of course.
You know? So, but it's like, it doesn't matter right now. I think if you see more of this, maybe. But you can't just overreact over one free agent hire.
I think it'll be crazier if now, okay, Kevin Durant and with the Warriors and the next free agent, a big name free agent, comes and joins them as well. I think that'll be exaggerated.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what's going to be the crazy thing. But I get where Jerry West is coming from, and he made those comments, and I still agree that the players should have the opportunity and the decision to make of his own future. He's the one that's playing, no matter what the money amount is, if it's more with the team. Obviously, Durant left some money on the table with OKC because they
Definitely.
Could offer him an extra year and more money. But it's not about that because these guys made so much money and they're making
more money,
so much
more problems.
Money. Exactly,
you know
that too. And they're making
totally
so
going out with that song now.
They're making so much money off endorsements and stuff like that. So it doesn't really matter. But yeah, Jerry West, I agree with him. And again, players should decide their own future. Now, Dave wants to share a little story with us.
All right, so
story time. We get a little
story time intro. Now, unfortunately, Dino's. Dino's off golfing or something.
Story time with Story Dave time. The Professor Tripp.
And Elias, Mr. LZ.
So, Dino, unfortunately, I didn't let you know in advance. But, okay, so my birthday's coming up in, like, December, right? Eventually, my birthday's
coming
up.
What's the exact date?
I'm not going to tell people that. They'll be swooning me with gifts.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I can't.
Dreaming, buddy.
I can't have that.
Okay.
So
tell me off air.
My girlfriend, Megan, she's a very sweet girl. She decides she's going to start planning
very
now. So you watch your tongue there, Macklin. And so she decides we're going to do a basketball game. We're going to go down to Toronto. We're going to see a Raptors game, right? Very cool. I've never actually been to a Raptors game at the ACC.
You've never been?
So I'm excited. So she's like, what teams would you like to see? And I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, the Warriors, that'd be a big ask. You know, there's some teams that are a little ahead. I'm not going to go after Cleveland. I figure maybe go
You're
with,
not a
like,
monster.
Go with, like, a reasonable team that I'm excited about. So I picked the Celtics. That's the team I wanted to see.
Oh, you're Al not just Horford. Sucking up for the segment we just had?
No, I would have told him if that were the case. So I like the Celtics this year. Horford, Isaiah Thomas, Jaylen Brown, Kelly Olynyk. A lot of good players that I like to see. I'd love to see in person.
Are they coming up twice? Like, it's not like they're in, like, they're in the same conference.
Yeah, exactly. Like, two games in Toronto. I figured, hey, that's a good one. She says, well, what do you think about the Atlanta Hawks? Not an exact, you know,
impression.
Replication of her voice.
I was going to say.
And what do you think about the Atlanta Hawks? I'm like, I like the Hawks, you know. Paul Millsap was my guy in fantasy last year. But, like, the Hawks, you know, I'd go see the Hawks, but they're not my first choice. I'd rather see the Celtics. She's like, well, what do you like so much about the Celtics? And I say, well, they just signed Al Horford. They look great. She's like, well, what's wrong with the Hawks? How come you don't like the Hawks? I'm like, oh, silly girl.
They don't have Al Horford.
They just lost Al Horford. Get your head in the game. Long story short, we're going to see the Hawks.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. It's like, why would she do that to herself, asking you about the team that she already had in mind? Like, doesn't make any sense. Ask about the Hawks first, but don't ask about, like, who would you like, because you're not getting that one.
She's going to listen to this and not like you very much.
I know, but
I love the Hawks.
I'm just saying.
Kent Bazemore, baby.
I think her line of questioning.
Dwight Howard?
Her line of questioning was out of order. I think she tries her hardest. I mean, getting tickets to ACC is happy enough. I would just say, hey, you're going to the Raptors game. Hey, I'm going to see the Raps.
And they play on my birthday.
Exactly.
So if you really want to do the, you know, the research, you'll find out what my birthday is and send gifts. 87 George Street in Ottawa.
Yeah, I'll see the Raptors when they come back to Ottawa. I saw them play the Minnesota Wolves this year.
Yeah.
That was good. So, but yeah, well, tough stuff there, buddy. Enjoy Dwight Howard.
I probably will.
Will you though?
That wraps it up for us. For
I'm just kidding, Megan. The great gift.
For Dave Tripp and Will Macklin.
Happy birthday! It's her birthday.
She's
oh, happy
crying
birthday,
her eyes out.
We didn't know that until Dave just mentioned it. Well, yeah. For Dave Tripp and Will Macklin, I'm Elias Olzane. Peace.